There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you are not one of them.
Know you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Fall, my co-host. Nasser Hamid will be bringing us Motorsports Mondial in the second part of the show. This is podcast number 456, September 8th, 2010. Steven?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Cameron Karting. Cameron Karting offers CRG carts, engines and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. Check them out at CameronKarting.com. You know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, to F-duct or to not to F-duct? That is the question. The host prepares to go to Monza, Korea. Not so ready after all. And Turbo... and excitement from the 80s may be coming back.
Ooh, Turbo.
And of course, Motorsports Mondial with Nasser Hamid himself, the jihadist of motorsports. Steve, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Absolutely outstanding. My bags are packed. I am ready for Monza.
Transportation arranged.
Transportation has been arranged to go to San Francisco International Airport for my nonstop flight to JFK, where I will get my nonstop flight to
Southern France.
Southern France, and then me and my friend will drive up the coast, down the coast.
Do you know what you're going to be driving across along the Italian coast? Do you know what vehicle you're going to be in?
I'm the host of F1 Weekly, and I shall have a voiture française. I shall insist on a Citroën. That's what I start with. I mean, I don't want no stinking Vauxhall. That is the final.
They'll give you a Skoda.
No, no Skodas, no Vauxhalls. So we'll see what happens. But I'm pretty excited. Monza, the good life.
They get a free upgrade to a Jag or something.
Maybe. That would be good. But no, it's going to be great.
Just tell me the host of F1 Weekly. You know,
well, that's what I'm
trip going. Over themselves.
And... of course. That's what I'm going to do. But it's going to be exciting. I'll be, of course, meeting some F1 Weekly listeners, including Dr. Mark Farrington on Saturday evening, possibly Friday evening, for some, not exactly fish and chips.
Fine Italian cuisine.
Exactly. So it's going to be fun. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's get right to it, Stephen. We're talking Monza. We're talking excitement. We're talking some teams saying F-Duck is a no-brainer, like Williams. And other teams are trying to figure it out because really, with such long straights and you're running so almost zero downforce, what is the F-duct going to bring you if you really don't have a rear wing?
That's really actually doing anything for you anyway, other than maybe just a tiny bit. You know, I can imagine how it would be kind of a challenge for the engineers to kind of go, well, would it be nice to have a little bit of downforce in the tighter, in the few slow portions of the track, which are like two? Or are we actually hurting ourselves because, you know, the F-duct may stall the rear wing, but I imagine it's probably slightly more drag than no wing at all. So trying to figure it out and determine which is going to be the best, you know, I think half the teams are probably going to get to the track and flip a coin.
Perhaps. I think some teams will just go ahead and bring it. And in Friday practice, if it shows, you know, a couple of clicks an hour.
Thousands on it. But let's do it.
It certainly can't hurt. Renault says, yes, Monza is very different from all the other circuits, and so we have to prepare a bespoke package that we will not use anywhere else. Pointing out that the F-duct saved the team a half a second per lap at Spa.
But
This isn't Spa. It's even worse.
Well, a lot
better.
Well, there's no real slow sections at all.
I'm looking forward to it, and I think Renault should go ahead and bring it. Williams is bringing it. I think McLaren. Yeah,
at the very least, you like you said, you put it on Friday to practice. Maybe you run one car with, one car without, and see if you see any performance variation, and then go from there.
And of course, the big question is: will Ferrari? I mean, they after their especially Fernando DNFing in Spa, he has to step up to the Tifosi plate.
Well, he's got to, frankly, at the very least, he's got to score points. He needs to score big points. He really needs a podium at the very least to keep the Tifosi from going. And we let Kimi go. Why?
Exactly. Even though Kimi really never, so un-Latin, so un-hip to what's going down.
But he was fast. And he was very fast. All the Tifosi truly want is someone who's fast.
Exactly. Muy rapido.
Exactly. Make us fast. What have you done for us lately? You won the first race of the year. What have you done for us lately?
Exactly. So Fernando, really, his popularity is going to diminish rapidly if he doesn't pull something out of the hat.
Yeah, well, he probably needs to be first two rows in qualifying, minimum.
He needs to be pole position, Steven.
He needs to be in the first two rows minimum, and he needs to be on the podium just to keep the Tifosi from, egging him as he leaves the track.
Exactly, and the worst part is Vettel is in the same predicament. He needs to do something somewhere and remove all the stupidity.
Yeah. What he needs is a clean weekend, period. Whether he does really well or not, he needs a clean weekend where he doesn't do something, 21-year-old-ish.
Well, what's really interesting is Sebastian Vettel, Fernando Alonso, and Jenson Button all need their
teammates
and compadres to DNF, basically. And the chapel.
And or not.
The point. Chapel is jam packed this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, the prayers, the Hail Marys, it is out of control. We can't even keep a good supply of holy water in the chapel.
I know. Well, the guys who keep coming in with the canteens are just starting to get irritating.
It is irritating. But no, it is going to be out of control. This weekend is a big weekend because really, I think for some people, this could be the end of their chances in the championship. Well, if Fernando does badly this weekend, he's going to have to write it off.
Yeah.
If Vettel does badly this weekend and Mark Webber does well, he's going to have to write it off.
Well, he's basically going to become number two for the rest of the season. He's got to work to.
That would help be numero due. Yes. He is really going to be looking bad. And of course, Jenson Button, with his bad luck at Spa, really needs to be up there on the podium and hope that his teammate does terrible.
Yeah, well, the likes of Jen, a couple of these guys, what they really need to do is get out, basically get to the final quality session and do well so that they're not back in the fray going into the early turns, because that's what's, Fernando dodged a bullet when Rubens hit him and didn't take any damage. But you got to wonder whether or not maybe that came back to bite him, and that maybe there was something in his suspension that caused him to have the later accident.
I agree. In the end, there could have been something wrong with the car because that was one big boom.
Yeah, it was a really kind of a weird accident that he had. And then, Jens, if you weren't fast enough to stay in front of Vettel, that's why he was on your butt and made the mistake. Otherwise, you wouldn't have been out of the race.
Exactly.
So it's got to qualify well if you want to race well, because you got to get out of the schlamazel that is, five and back.
The schlamazel, Steven? A lot of people are talking about that word, and they don't like it. This isn't Laverne and Shirley, Steve.
It's not?
It's not.
I've been doing this for 400 plus podcasts, and it's not Laverne and Shirley.
It is not Laverne and Shirley. It's my dress that's fooling you.
Or I was like, hey!
There we go. Thank you, Stephen. Okay, moving on. The big thing of the weekend, of course, is for me.
Have they named the steward?
No. Speaking of stewards, they have not named a steward, and I was hoping it would be Mario.
Yeah, that would be very nice.
And occasionally, I think they should open the envelope up a little bit and get other folk that may not have been racing drivers, but have been in racing, you know, principals and stuff, like Flavio, bravo, Fisico.
Nah.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Maybe 10 years they could bring in Flavio, but I don't think right now he's made, you know, any decision he made, and if it happened to go against Ferrari, they'd just be, or McLaren, if it went against anybody but Renault, they'd be like, hey, he's just trying to get back at people.
You think he would do that? No. But anyway, McLaren is the team, really, that looks fantastic on paper at Monza.
Definitely, the way that they raced at Spa, they definitely look like they could be the wild card this weekend as far as is, you know, kind of thwarting Red Bull's, you know, dominance as far as qualification goes.
Yes, and I've checked the weather. There doesn't seem to be any rain scheduled for Sunday. There will be some rain on Tuesday in the Lombardy area.
So it'll be a nice green track when they start on Thursday.
Pretty much, but nothing exciting on Sunday, but you never know. Also in the news, there's been some talk about the 2013 rules where they're going to be bringing back turbos, 1.6 liter four-cylinder turbocharged engines, 650 horsepower.
Huh?
I'm sorry, Stephen, but the, and of course, full ground.
In GP3?
No, it's Formula Uno. Four-cylinder, turbocharged.
And you're going to try to power a KERS weighted down car with this?
Well, I don't know about KERS, but we're talking about bringing back full ground effects.
Can we go to like at least a V6 turbocharged?
Well, I mean, Formula One has had four-cylinder, 1.5 liters four-cylinders in the past. I mean, a four-cylinder turbocharged can be quite exciting. Trust me, Steven.
Oh, yeah.
But that's just, you know, it's
the, but you know, but then again, if you're trying to run that on a full tank of gas at the start of the race, no, I don't know. But not like well, not like the FIA is going to listen to me.
They're also talking about fuel regulations where the fuel will be regulated and you'll be able to control how much fuel you're putting into the car instead of just dumping fuel. It's more of a green kind of concept.
Okay. How about going, you get X number of gallons at the beginning of the season, that's what you got to get all the way through with, and that, or otherwise you take a penalty.
Exactly. Quickly, Sam Michael says that there will be a fuel flow meter, so you won't be able to blow more than a certain amount of fuel. It is a good chunk less than what we have at the moment, so I find it interesting. Of course, Patrick Head and former Ferrari designer Rory Byrne are working with the FIA on some of these concepts.
Okay. So they're nothing in stone yet.
But no. But still, it could be pretty exciting. And I always liked the turbocharged era and the ground effects.
Yeah. You would like the turbocharged era. Who kind of semi-dominated the turbocharged era?
Well, not a lot of people dominated the turbocharged era. It was exciting.
Who dominated the beginning of the turbocharged
era? Well, no, the teapots had a lot of issues in the late 70s. Blowing up with the turbos frying. But no, I'm looking forward to this. At least there's thinking out of the box. I think ground effects would make the cars look pretty cool. And I'm not too big on the four-cylinder. I think you're right. A V6 would be more exciting. But, you know, they can get 650 horsepower, which is, for me, is not much.
I mean,
650 horsepower is not much. I prefer 800 to 900 horsepower.
Yeah. I have a challenge with the ground effects, too, because the reason ground effects really got out of motorsports is because they were dangerous as hell. Because if you're going full-blown ground effect and it breaks loose, your car is gone. Like flying off the track, gone.
I understand, but today's technology, you know, I think ground effects come back and be a lot safer than they used to be.
It's physics, man.
I understand physics, but you know what? A few laughs are good too. Apparently, Korea has been in the limelight. Some people are saying, you know, it's ready to go. Bernie's all gung-ho. And of course,
and they're saying it. the report I read today that the last layer of asphalt isn't on the track
exactly.
yet.
Exactly. And Karun Shandok went out there and did some testing.
In what? In what, a bicycle? If,
no,
if
he
the track isn't complete.
He was in the, you know, Grand Prix winning Red Bull. But he kept a pretty face when he was there. But when he got back, he had a few things to say. And even Bernie Ecclestone has conceded that there are still problems with the facility. And this is what Karun Shandok noticed. There are a number of buildings remaining half finished. Many of the grandstand seats are missing. The final layer, as you said, of asphalt yet to be laid down. Runoff area is still not ready. Incomplete main entrance. Safety catch fences are missing. Insufficient parking and not even a full supply of water and electricity. So, you know, why don't we just go to Manicourt and have a Grand Prix in France? They're ready to go.
50 days, they say, to go before they have to be ready. And you know, it sounds like they'll be able to run a race. I don't know what how fun it will be to be at that race if you're a spectator.
Well, I'm sure the facilities will be state-of-the-art, grandioso, huge. And I have a funny feeling they'll pull it off.
Yeah, I'm the way Bernie was talking in the report I read, there's going to be a race there.
Yeah.
The place is probably going to look a little half done.
Well, it's,
but they're going to run the race.
Apparently, this is what they're going to do. It says, if there are missing buildings, we will just put up some tents.
Yeah. And, of course, Bernie won't be staying in any of those.
Well, you know, but they do a lot of that.
Yeah, my biggest concern is the fact that if they don't have the asphalt done, are we going to end up in a situation where if it happens to be really warm, are we going to end up with a track like we were seeing in Canada 2 years ago where the track started to come up as the cars were going around it?
Yeah, and Kimi Räikkönen freaking out.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. It could be a disaster. But, you know, that's what happens when they push for these things. I think they could have waited till 2011 and had a French Grand Prix instead of Manicourt or Clermont-Ferrand. But nobody listens to me.
Yeah, well, you could go down, you know, if you really wanted to, you could go to Paul Ricard.
Yeah, but Paul Ricard is really not set up for a lot of...
yeah, but how hard
test track now.
Yeah, well, how hard is it to bring in grandstands? Come on.
Well, you'd be surprised.
Not enough paddock is what the problem is.
Yeah,
is
not enough
No sweets for Bernie's friends.
Not enough foie gras.
Well, come on. There are factories for foie gras around the track. Come
factories?
On.
This is done by hand, Steve. One geese.
Farms around the track.
One goose at a time. There's no factory for foie gras, you stupid.
Of course it is. How do you force feed a goose if you don't have a factory?
Well, it's big funnels, Stephen. Big funnels with pictures on them.
No. Air compressors.
Anyway, Tilke is in the news, of course, now that we've seen what Austin will look like with the elevations. Some people...
Tilke, what, has he come out and said, no, I'm not going to do that track?
No, he's all excited. He's pumped up. And what he's saying is... this is the new wave of tilt tracks that are going to be more exciting on the edge, bringing Formula One to the modern world.
Didn't he say that when he did Malaysia?
No, he's excited.
I did like what we saw of the Austin track. Will be interesting to see if it's actually built, and then how it actually comes to fruition once we start putting cars on it. You know, that's the one problem with having a beautiful-looking track on you never know if it's actually going to come out that way.
I understand, but Steve, don't forget that Tilke has to work within the rules that the FIA provide him. I mean, he just can't go, you know, and start freaking out.
Yeah, you can't go build a spa because half of what the spa wouldn't be allowed under current FIA regulations.
Exactly, and that is his biggest problem. The FIA will not accept tracks without the runoff. Having wide runoffs... it's not ideal for the view, and it's very different from old tracks where the guardrail was right by the edge of the track. So you have to, you know, forget the old tracks, even though they had great concepts. A lot of those concepts were just part of nature.
Yeah, well, it's just when you take a track like Spa, which basically evolved out of, you know, what was it, a triangle of roads.
Yeah, so a little town, and it just happened to be cool.
Yeah.
So you got to keep an open mind, and I think Tilk is trying because he's had he knows about the criticism of some of the boring Tilk tracks. So I think Austin's going to be exciting. I'm looking forward to it, and there's definitely nothing to complain about. I think he'll, you know, he'll find that medium.
Well, he'll build the best track he can within the framework that is available to him.
Exactly, and I think, you know, with the FIA, he could push and shove a little bit, and you know, some of the runoff on some of these tracks is out of control.
Yeah, well, ultimately, the runoff isn't so much the problem as I've seen it. It's that he doesn't build in really good enough spots. One, he doesn't build in enough width, and two, he doesn't build in enough positions where you can have overtaking opportunities. But looking at the Austin track, there are at least three spots that I saw that looked like they would probably be reasonable for having, you know, the opportunity to get past somebody else.
Exactly. So I'm hoping Austin happens. I hope it comes together quickly. And the best part is there's a nonstop flight from San Jose to Austin.
Brand new one, actually.
Exactly. Brand new flight from San Jose, California to Austin. On a daily basis.
Not on one of our normal airlines, but yeah.
We'll figure it out.
There are actually two now.
Really? Keep up the good work, Steve. Maybe they heard about F1 Weekly.
Yeah.
Maybe not. And quickly before we go to break, I just want to remind everybody it was 40 years ago that Jochen Rindt, the sport's only posthumous world champion, was killed at Monza. Very sad. You could see Jochen Rindt's LM Ferrari over at the museum in Indianapolis at the track, the Hall of Fame or whatever it's called. Very exciting stuff. Great history. I'm sure NASA will have some more on that. So yeah, my bags are packed, Steve. My ride is ready. I'll be in Italy
within 24 hours.
Something like that. Pretty close. Not really close to that. But anyway, there you have it. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with Nasser Hamid, the guru, the swami, the jihad of motorsports after this brief message.
Hi, I'm Clark Rogers, host of F1Weekly.com's podcast. Please visit our website, F1Weekly.com, your fresh new destination for all your Formula One needs. F1Weekly.com brings you a weekly podcast that covers the latest news, rumors, and insightful commentary related to the pinnacle of modern motorsports, Formula One. You can find us on iTunes and other popular podcast locations. F1Weekly.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Swami, Nasser Hamid.
Greetings and racing regards. Monza is moments away, the final leg of the European saison. My favorite race of the season, over in less than 90 minutes, which makes it even more interesting. And Mr. Rogers will be there, so that's going to be over the top, as you say.
Over the top. I got to find girls to take pictures with for the front page. You know, there's a lot of pressure on the host when he attends these kinds of races.
Wow. What plans you have? Are you going to go on the banking?
Oh, I was thinking about that.
You have to do that. Yeah. The Monza banking is...
I was going to streak the banking.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guido may come after you.
Yes.
And I understand you're meeting Dr. Farrington. Any other family members of F1 Weekly?
You know, all of a sudden, the Friday rendezvous with the F1 Weekly listeners has seemed to have dropped off on the forum. But please, anybody can contact me at Clark at F1Weekly.com. Of course, I'll have a laptop. I'll be checking my email. And Friday, I'm fully available.
Cool.
Dressed to kill and ready to drink some Pieroni.
Very good.
Schianti.
Very good, sir. Have a good time.
Thank you.
And you're flying through Nice, huh? That's even nice.
Exactly.
Very good.
Your favorite.
Oh, yes. Today, we shall start with Formula 2 action from Oschersleben, first pole of the season for the second coming of Vitaly Petrov, also known as Sergei Afanasyev. Victory in both events of the weekend was claimed by Dean Stoneman of the UK. Stoneman is now leading the championship by 31 points, with only one race remaining on the schedule, Valencia, later this month. Do you, talking of Valencia, do you know there was a lady who once sent us an email that she was in Valencia, was a McLaren fan?
I remember that.
Did she ever send us an email saying adios, amigos?
No. These people just come and go.
Come and go. Okay. Well, we wish them well. Okay, next is WTCC, World Touring Car Championship, also from Oschersleben. And those who are interested in geography, this is what used to be in the eastern German part of the country.
On the other side of the Iron Curtain?
Exactly.
Excellent.
Now they have motorsports. Opening race of the weekend saw first victory of the season for Alain Menu in race two, win number six for Andy Priaulx. And Andy Priaulx also has a Andy Priaulx Performance Center, driving instruction, blah, blah, blah.
Not surprised. Menu and Priaulx have been around for a little while now.
Oh, yes. Very much so. From one German track, we go to another, Hockenheim, for World Series by Renault, also known as Formula Renault 3.5. They need to decide what they want to call the series.
Yeah. 3.5, I mean, it's the engine size.
Yeah, World Series by Renault sounds better.
I agree.
Yeah. Winner in race one is the second coming of Mark Webber, Daniel Ricciardo. He's from Perth, Western Australia, who led from start to finish for his third win of the season. And I have a feeling this kid is going places. He's been doing very good lately and has a track record of winning and finishing in the championships in the top three. And that's what you want. So no wonder he's still in the Red Bull program. Race 2 won Bohol. This is important. Race 2 was won by Esteban Guerrieri, win number 4 of the season for the Argentine driver. And my message to him is muy distancia from Peter Windsor. Very, very.
I think Peter Windsor's been blacklisted from Argentina.
Well, if he's smart, he shouldn't go there.
Yeah, he's probably on the no-fly list for Argentina.
Yeah, I think the president, she put her foot down.
Yeah, if he goes there, he might become a, you know, meatloaf there.
Exactly. They take their beef very seriously.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Can't believe the guy is longtime friends, manager to Carlos Vartem.
It's another sad state of affairs in the world of motorsports. But it is a cutthroat industry.
And there it is. Now we go to DC's country, Scotland, for BTCC, which will be the British Touring Car Championship from Knockhill. Winners from three races were Gordon Shedden, Matt Neal, and Jason Plato. And Jason Plato has been around for a while, too. Formula Renault UK were also in action. And I tell you what, this kid, young man to watch is Tom Blomqvist, son of rally star Stig Blomqvist. He won the opening race of the weekend, and he is doing extremely good. Very young and very good. So the future is bright for this man, young man from Sweden. From one British track, we go to another, this time to Brands Hatch. The first motor racing track I ever saw in my life was Brands Hatch.
So excited.
I was so happy. Took the train, and then we had to go through the Dartford Tunnel, took a taxi, man dropped me there, and moi was just super excited to be there.
I assume chills and frissons.
Absolutely. With every fish and chip. And I have a picture, actually, which I had somebody take of me in front of the gate, which we shall put someday on the, maybe on the back page of F1 Weekly.
Sure, there you go.
I don't think I'm front page material like you and the girls from Budweiser. Yeah. Okay. The DTM race was won by Dario Franchitti's cousin, Paul Di Resta, his first win of the season. Italian Eduardo Mortara won the F3 Euro Series race on Saturday, win number 6 for the man who also won the Macau Grand Prix last year. He's been on a hot roll, but he had difficulty winning races when he was going against Nico Hülkenberg. These things happen. So we wish him all the best. Victory in Sunday's race went to Portuguese driver Antonio Felix da Costa, who led from start to finish. So I guess Dr. Miguel.
Exactly.
You have two M's. Yeah, getting the doctors mixed up. Whoa, I need a therapy. He should be happy. Now we go to Italy for MotoGP Acción from Misano Adriatico. Danny Pedrosa of Spain on a Honda won the San Marino Grand Prix. Yamaha riders Jorge Lorenzo was second, and Mr. Rossi, the doctor, third. And I'm sure you heard about the very sad, unfortunately, tragedy hit the MotoGP weekend again. In the Moto2 race, Japanese rider Shoya Tomizawa was killed after falling off his bike and then hit by the bikes of De Angelis and Redding. Very sad and tragic, and coming right after the previous round at Indy, in which 13-year-old kid was killed in similar circumstances. And you know, Misano is the track, if I'm not mistaken, this is the track where Wayne Rainey had his career-ending crash. Very, very sad, I must say. Okay, now we cross the pond for racing action in the U.S., where the big fish is NASCAR off the Florida coast. Have you ever had this fish?
I have.
Yeah, it's really tasty.
Is it? A lot of ketchup?
Yeah. How you make this fish is you put it in a skillet and just turn it left again and again, like 200 times. It comes out.
I like that.
Yeah, it's real fried, deep fried.
That's beautiful.
And very tasty.
Excellent.
Okay, boys were in action in Atlanta, where Tony Stewart, also known as Smoke, was the winner. His first victory of the season. Cousin Carl Edwards was second, and I'm sure they'll have another race next weekend.
You think?
Oh, absolutely. Kentucky for IRL, Ed Carpenter took pole, but Castro Neves nails victory for Captain Penske. Also on the billing was Indy Lights. Pippa Man, Danica Patrick of the British Isles, won the race after starting from pole and leading the most laps.
I love Cyndi Lauper.
I'm sure you do.
Exactly.
You love all girls who like to have fun.
I do.
That's very good.
Just want to have fun.
Yeah.
So, Nasser, thank you for another outstanding Motorsports Mondial. Now, before we leave you, let's talk about Monza.
Well, you know, what can
Some excitement.
It's my all-time favorite track.
Any predictions? And what do you think is going to happen at Monza? The Tifosi, the Fernando. You have Luca di Montezemolo. We don't have Flavio, but there's going to be some Bravo.
Yes. Let me tell you about Monza, how important it is to me. 1980, when I was collecting...
A young whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. I just had a job, and I was saving all the pesos and the rupees I can. I wanted to go to Monza, okay? And a friend of mine said to me, what are you going to do? Go and see a piece of road, old road. Why don't you just use this money and go to America? And I says, you know what? Monza is Monza. I have to see that place before I go anywhere else in this world.
So you went to Monza before you went to America?
Yes, sir.
That's so beautiful.
Yes. And I remember being there in 1982, Mario Andretti on pole position. There was Tolman Turbo, which had such a different noise to sound to every car. Rene Arnoux winning the race. Niki Lauda, John Watson, Jacques Lafitte, Ligier Matra. Eddie Cheever, Arnage was there also with his Union Jack helmet. That was a fantastic trip, man. I love it. And walking through the park, you know. Have you been there before?
No. This is my first time to Monza, Nasser.
Well,
any tips for me? What should I do?
Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the race. And I don't know where you're going to watch the race from. But I would say walk around the track, you know.
Yeah.
I tell you, if you...
I'm going to bring back a little piece of... A little vial with some dirt in it.
Oh, good for you. Yeah. Because if you go to there is a train station called Lesmo Biasono, and it's very close to the Lesmo Corners. And if you're walking in that area, there are certain areas where you can get very close to the track. And I was there once a few years ago, and the GP2 race was going on. A lot of people in that area, but the sound was incredible.
Lesmo Corners,
sir. And my all-time favorite place in this world is Parabolica.
Of course.
Yes, sir. A lot of history here. Of course, you know, this is the track where Mario Andretti went there in 1955 as a teenager, saw his hero Alberto Ascari and thought he could become a racing driver. And there he was in 1982 on pole with the Ferrari, Didier Pironi's Ferrari, because he was... You know, it was amazing. Of course, I... Following when Villeneuve showed up in Formula One from nowhere and made a very big impact right away. And I was looking forward to seeing him and Didier Pironi a race there, and when I got there, and they had both started with the team in the, at the start of the season, and one was gone, the other was, you know, barely hurt because of the accident in Germany. But, you know, and a lot of history here. I remember 1975 race very well, and Regazzoni won, and Fittipaldi had a big duel with Niki Lauda, finally passed him. And then Schachter won in 79, Ferrari won too. Very impressive. And of course, Michael Schumacher won many times and announced his retirement there. And then in 2007, late in the race, Mr. Hamilton outbreak, I believe it was Raikkonen to take second. But who won the race? Do you remember?
El Machismo
McLaren. Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome track. And it's, you know, every Italian Grand Prix except for 1980 has been held at Monza. So this track has staged more Formula One races than any other track. So I love Monza.
Excellent. Thank you, Nasser, for that editorial on Monza. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the wrap-up.
Hi, I'm Jack Harvey from the UK, listening to F1 Weekly.
I am René Anou, and you must listen like me, F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, let's go right to the wrap-up. And no, there are no form updates, and it's my fault because I am flying to Monza Tuesday morning. We had to record
a little bit early.
Number 456, a little bit early. So my apologies to everybody. I'm sure Steve will have the form updates for the race recap, which could very well be with Desiree.
I need to text her to find out.
There you have it. So anyway, want to remind you about San Francisco Formula One Group. Check them out at sff1.com. They'll be getting together this weekend for a grand time. Cameron Karting is proud to organize and support the 2010 Redline Oil Karting Championship. Cameron Karting offers CRG carts, engines, and parts for all carts, engine service, driver coaching, and trackside support to Northern California carters. For more information, contact CameronKarting.com. I want to mention our MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and make us a friend. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, email us at info@F1Weekly.com. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. See you at Monza. Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
This is Desiree for F1Weekly.com, thanking you, the subscribers and members of our listening audience, for listening to our podcast, reporting and commenting on Formula One, the highest echelon of motorsport, a blend of technology, tradition, glamour, and guts, all wrapped up in a high-speed package. That's F1Weekly.com for all your Formula One needs.